All right, so, what color will be tonight? We'll start this one. All right. So this week, in your reading, if you read, is one of my favorite words in the Bible. So I never thought anything of it until Aaron Crust did a bunch of, like, he hit me with a solid, like, lesson and a half on this word back in the day when we were going through dispensations. And the word is pattern. Pattern. Okay, what's a pattern? Someone put it in your own words. Yeah, definitely. Depending on the term you're using it, absolutely. That's one of the definitions for sure. Anybody else? Anybody else do like? Anybody like sew? Okay. Yeah, you sew. Okay, what's a sewing pattern? So, either one of you.
It could be backwards, diagonal.
Oh, that kind of pattern. Okay, I see where you're going.
It's kind of like yeah. Repeated
guidelines. Yeah, so it's like those like paper things, right? Where it's like a kind of like whatever you want to make. Right, and you just kind of copy it, right? If you're, does anybody do woodworking? Peyton, are you a woodworker?
We just built my mom a table.
You doing woodworking? Have you ever used a pattern in woodworking? Do you know what that would be? Yeah, right. It's like a stencil. Yeah, right. So you use that, and it allows you to kind of like repeat things. Exactly. Yeah, a lot of times, or they'll have like little patterns that are like it's like what you want to cut out, and then you can like put it on the saw, and then it cuts to the pattern, right? So, you guys understand what a pattern is. Now, you would think, Bob talks about patterns a lot, right? Have you ever heard him say the word pattern? You know what I mean? So, he says the word pattern a lot. It was hair quiet. I'm going to take it down to like that. Right? So, you hear the word pattern a lot, but it's actually kind of rare in the Bible. The word pattern is only used to pretty much describe three things in the Bible. Three things. And so, one of those things was this week, okay? And so it's kind of important to us, because why? A pattern tells you that, hey, if there's one thing based off a pattern, then there's, number one, a pattern, and then there's other things it produces. And so there are things that we need to look at as we're reading, so that should pique your ears, okay? So the word pattern is applied to three things, all right? Right, the tabernacle's one, so that's what we read about this week. And we'll talk a lot about the tabernacle in a bit, but I don't want to just give you, the tabernacle has a lot of types, the tabernacle has a lot of cool stuff in it, and I want to get that to you, but that's not the coolest thing to me. The tabernacle's cool because it's a lot of types, but it's more cool because it represents part of a pattern. The next thing is the temple. Okay, who knows what the temple is compared to the tabernacle? Anybody read through the Bible before? What would be the difference, in your opinion? What's a temple? In your own words, what's a temple? Someone take a stab at it. You've heard of a temple before, right? Kansas City Baptist Temple, right? Come on, right?
It's a place of sacrifice?
Kind of, yeah, sure enough. But it's like a place, right? So the tabernacle is like the like mobile version of the temple, right? The temple is kind of the end goal. The temple is the thing that Solomon builds at one point that's no longer Israel wandering around the wilderness with a glorified tent, right? The temple is what God's actual house was back in Israel. And then the third thing now that kind of seems out of order, right? Right? We've got the tabernacle, we've got the temple, and then we've got a Christian. Are you sure, Jared? Are you sure Christian is that third part? Why? Anybody got an idea? How? Okay, Xavier's got it.
My body is like a temple.
There you go. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Okay, so there is something interesting here. Once again, the book of Exodus, you might get caught up in the boring rules. You might get caught up in all the different, like, okay, this curtain's got to be this long. This curtain's got to be this long. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But you do realize that the pattern of the temple, right? There's the same pattern that we're a part of. So, does what we're reading in Exodus apply to you in some way? Yes. Okay, cool. So this is the fun stuff about the book of Exodus and just the Old Testament in general. All right? This is fun. this is fun. And so, and I can give you all the cross references on pattern. You could go look them up. I'm not going to waste our time going there because you get the gist, right? We're a pattern. We follow that same pattern. The Bible says to pattern yourselves after good works. It says Paul was made a pattern from Jesus Christ so that them which should thereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So Paul was made a pattern to other people to follow. And so, you know, that's kind of what we are, right? We're a pattern. We're supposed to be followable. You know, I always think about, you know, I asked myself the question while I was putting this together. If someone patterned themselves after you, what kind of person would they be? I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting while I was reading it. You know, really think about it, right? If someone said, okay, I'm going to copy Quentin in everything that I do, you know, who's that guy? You know, what's he going to look like? If I copy Jordan in everything that I do, I make him my pattern, what am I going to look like? You know what I mean? Sometimes we don't externalize ourselves. And so once you kind of put it like that, you're like, yeah, okay, maybe you shouldn't pattern after me. Find someone better. So I'm going to take you to a kind of a weird place, but we're going to look at this. I think this is kind of fun. And we're going to start drawing some parallels here between the different patterns. All right? So flip back to Hebrews, of all places. No, I know. We're reading in the Old Testament, and we're about as far in the New Testament as you can get. Hebrews chapter 8. So I want to show you here, so kind of giving you the background for any of you that didn't read or maybe you didn't understand. So the tabernacle, right, it's kind of this simple thing. I'm going to draw it really simple, right? We got what's called the outer court, and don't bother copying this down. This is a rough drawing. I'll give you a better one here in a second. So this is the outer court, and then inside there, right, is the tabernacle itself, right, the holy place, and then the very back, you've got this thing called the Holy of Holies, all right? So there was this veil right here, big old curtain, and then the Ark of the Covenant, and little cherubims on top of it, okay? And then God, when he wanted to communicate with Israel, when he wanted to develop his relationship with them, when they needed to come sacrifice and ask forgiveness for sins, they'd all do that right here. God himself would literally come down and sit upon that mercy seat it talks about, and we'll talk about that more in a bit. But he'd come down. So there's a lot of interesting things in this, okay? There's a lot of interesting things, and I'm going to show you why it's interesting. Read in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Is everybody there? Anybody need help getting there? It's a little, we haven't been there very often. Gonna read it? Okay. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now follow along with me. We got some interesting words that we're going to cross, and I'm going to kind of stop as we go, so make sure to pay attention. 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty of the heavens. Okay, so I'm going to stop right there. Can anybody tell me about the high priest in Exodus? Can you, like, you know anything about him? Who was it? Yeah, I'll give you that. No? No idea?
It was Aaron.
Jay, good job. All right, Aaron. And so the high priest had special jobs. Okay, and, you know, all the priests would come and they'd kind of do stuff. You know, they'd come in and they'd mess with different things in the tabernacle, and they'd do all those sorts of things. But only one person could go into the center area to actually go talk with God, right? And that was the high priest. So, you know, the high priest, I don't know where I'm just going to put high priest, right? So the high priest can go in there. So he's the bigwig, right? He's the top dog. He's the one that can get in there and actually do something. And it's crazy, right? So this veil, I think that veil was less there to hide the ark. It was more there for the protection of the people that were in the tabernacle. Because what happened? Did someone read it? What happened if you, like, were on the other side of that veil and you weren't in the right spot? What happened? Dead.
Well, didn't the fire? Didn't you say fire was?
Yeah, stuff. People died. Basically, that God is so glorious and so holy in that setting. If you even had a bad thought, you'd be toast. Right. That's why. Anybody read? What did the high priest have on the bottom of his hem of his pants? What did he have? He had pomegranates and what?
Bells.
Why did he have bells? Anybody know why? Why do they put bells on cows?
So they can hear them coming.
Yeah, exactly. So what happens when the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies and you don't hear bells moving? Dead. He had bells on his thing so that they'd know, okay, he ain't dead yet. He's still doing his thing in there. That's good, right? So, I mean, pretty metal, right? And so you have this veil where the high priest could go behind it and... it is metal. All right,
it is metal.
Give me this one.
It is metal.
Derek, stop.
You're
so cool.
Jerry,
stopping.
Yeah, like that's like I don't know. Like Holy Damnation is a metal song right there. You know what I mean? Like,
oh my God.
You know, come
Derek,
on.
Can you stop being a nerd?
I can't help it. Okay, right? So, but now here's the interesting thing, right? So they have a high priest. What does it say? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Says, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum, we have such a high priest, right? So Israel, back in the tabernacle, they had a high priest. Hey, look, we've got a high priest too. Who is it?
Christ.
Hey, there we go. Okay. And so, just like that, like, we've got the same thing. And, I mean, just in the same boat, I'm going to give this to you now while we're looking at it, right? There's high priests. Were there priests under the high priest? There's lots of them, right? So in the same way, there are priests under Christ. Guess who that is?
Us.
Bingo. Yes, you and me. So, now knowing that this is a pattern, right? There's priests over here. There's priests over here. Right? Now you're starting to see where, hey, maybe this stuff that's going on back in Exodus might just have something to do with us over here, right? You track it, Lacken? Okay. No, I'm sorry. I'm never going to say that again. I don't know. That was awful. I don't know what just happened. I don't know.
You get a sign that says words not.
Wait, you can just start it. Instead of writing down, like, Bobisms, like, good quotes in the back of your Bible, like, you know, like people do, right? Jared should not say. Yeah.
And then call him out for him.
Yep. I mean, that's fair. I'm going to keep reading here, though. Right, so we've got a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Right? So, is this the true tabernacle? No. So, it was just a pattern, right? It was just built off a pattern. It was built off the pattern of the real tabernacle, okay? And so, once again, right? This is setting context for us. Let's see, how far am I going? Verse 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gift and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity. Luke, mute yourself. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have someone also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. So here's verse 5, right? If you've been tuning me out for a second, this is a... Hang on there. This one's good. Ready? Who serve in the example and shadow of heavenly things. Hey, right? Shadow of heavenly things. Right? Do you get the point of what a shadow is? Right? It kind of shows you the essence of the thing that, I mean, it's based off of, right? So you can get an idea that, like, I don't know, it looks like an owl on the wall, or I don't know how you do an owl, right? But it looks like a kangaroo on the wall, right? Now, you're not seeing this, right? You're seeing just the shape of a kangaroo, but what does that tell you, right? The shadow will tell you that from this angle, well, there's some things that kind of look like a kangaroo, okay? And so if people are doing things in the shadow of heavenly things, that means we might not be able to see the whole picture, right? You're not going to be able to see what the hands look like. You're not going to be able to see... you know, all that stuff. But you can kind of see some of the positions and some of the outlines and some of the structures and some of the ideas that the shadow is coming from. Does it make sense? Verse 5 again. So, who serve under the example of the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. Okay, right? What have we been reading? Have they been building the tabernacle? No, he's been getting instructions on how to make it. So this passage is directly relating back to what we've been reading in Exodus 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and then you'll finish up the tabernacle tomorrow, if you're caught up chapter 30, I think it finishes in 30. But anyway, so even the Bible is telling you, like, hey, look, hey, dumb, I'm telling you where to go look to learn more about this, okay? He's saying to go back and look at what Moses was admonished of. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed unto thee in the mount. Right? So, here's the thing. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but do you ever, like, look at the Old Testament and kind of wonder, okay, like, why, though? Like, why? I mean, like, God could have done anything, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to have you kill two goats instead of one or none. Right? Have you ever thought about, like, I mean, if you put it on paper, right, you know, a Jew's witnessing to someone and explaining his religion back in the day. He's like, oh, yeah, if I do something bad, I got to go find a dove and chop its head off, and then I'm made whole, right? Like, that's a little weird, isn't it? I mean, like, if that's a hard sell, you know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, I sinned, so I, you know, my favorite goat, Lammy, we had to go chop its head off the other day. Bummer. You know, right? It's a hard sell on what's going on. God's not just doing stuff randomly in the Old Testament. He's doing it because it's a picture, a shadow of the things that are to come. And so if you're smart, a smart, diligent Bible reader, you will be reading the Old Testament, you'll be reading Exodus, you'll be reading about the tabernacle, and going, what's it relating to? What's the picture? What's the hand on the wall? Maybe what can I learn about the hand by looking at the shadow that he's showing me? Right? What can I learn about the pattern from what he's showing me? And so, I don't know. That's the thing that I really, like, we're going to go through the tabernacle, and I'm going to use it to kind of explain to you guys and show you the cool part of how this pattern fits together. But that's the end of this message, functionally, is, look, the Bible is put together in a very divine way. I mean, you could quote 15 of those guys, right? I mean, there's a bunch of applications, there's a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of, the consistency of the Bible probably is the number one, right? There's some interesting stuff that's crazy consistent. Think about it, right? Tabernacle, right? You've got an outer area, okay? You've got this inner area that's the actual tabernacle, right? And then you've got this third area that is super holy, and it's divided by a veil for the protection of everything else, right? How many heavens are there? Three, right? You've got the big first heaven, right? I don't even need to use this. I can use the same pattern. That's why, right? There's three heavens, right? There's our earth, right? What's the second one?
Space,
right? Then we've obviously got third heaven where God resides, just like how in the Holy of Holies is where God resided, right? Those of you that have been in dispensations with me, what's the veil?
The ice.
Yeah, the deep. Sea of glass, right? There's functionally, and I do believe from the bottom of my heart that, you know, even scientists can prove that there's big chunks of water out in space, and I 100% believe from the bottom of my heart that giant barrier of water is the only thing keeping us from getting burned up from God's glory, right? It's the only thing I can think of that would be stopping all of that majesty. So, in the exact same way, right, there's a veil, and if you want to get crazy, the whole high priest, and I'm not going to do this today, we could do this on like a Monday if we wanted to do it, we could have people join or whatever. But high priest, right, he had to come out and go back in multiple different times doing his job for the atonement, things like that. Guess what? Christ had to do that multiple times when he paid for our sins as our high priest. He had to go in and out of the veil a couple different times. You know, you can link those up and tie those together. That gets a little bit beyond what we can do in youth group, but if you're interested in tying those together, we could do it. But right, and so think about next thing, right? Right? How many pieces are humans made up of?
Three.
What?
Flesh.
Body, right?
Soul.
Spirit, right? Well, we'll do the backwards, right? Holy Spirit resides in one part of us, right? He resides in the soul, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. See how it kind of all ties together? How even our own body is built after the pattern of the tabernacle. And so, you know, and you'll see this too if you read, and we'll get to it in Ezekiel, right? There's the temple out in eternity. Like a literal physical temple for the literal physical kingdom of heaven. And guess what? It'll be built similarly And it's, you know, it's kind of the hand to the hand puppet of what we've got going on, right? And so that's the gist of the day. That's the gist is look at the consistency of the Bible and just pay attention, you know? You're only reading 2 pages a day. You know, I love you guys. 2 pages is like 5 minutes. Like, you can go a little, okay, 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
I read slow.
I'm talking about if you're not trying to read, like, comprehend, you can crank through the Bible really fast if you want to. My admonition is to, okay, it's only 2 pages, take some time. Like, how many of you doodle, or not doodle, how many of you, like, write down notes while you read the Bible? Right? I would encourage you to do so. Like, when I was reading about the tabernacle, right, I would take notes on, okay, this was made of this, and this had this importance, or whatever. And it's not that many notes, but by the end of it, I could compare those, and guess what? You can learn a lot of stuff from those. And so I'd encourage you guys, you know, if you're reading, even if you're not, right, maybe you would actually, maybe be easier to read because you'd get more out of it if you take the time to actually kind of go slow and think about it, right? Question, why did he pick the thing that he picked there? Why? I mean, there will be a reason. We'll get into it when the time comes. Guess what? Every single sacrifice, every single feast, all of those things, guess what? The priests are administering those. So they're part of the pattern too, right? So we can learn about ourselves from the work that the priests do. Because guess what? We're a priest, and we've got work to do. And so we're a part of that same pattern that they're cut from. So while you're reading in the next few weeks, don't see it as weird Old Testament stuff that doesn't apply to us anymore. See it as the shadow of what you're supposed to be. Cool? Picking up on that? All right, flip back to Exodus. Chapter 27, if you will. Let's see, how fast can I draw? We're gonna speed draw this puppy. Alright, so let's do it. So what's gonna happen is I'm gonna try to draw while someone reads about these for me. Because I want to actually read these whole things, but I realize that would be kind of boring. Okay? So let's do this. 27. Let's see here. 27. So I'll set the groundwork for us here. Okay. So we've got kind of and these colors are not going to be totally accurate, right? So we've got the courtyard of the tabernacle here, right? So we're gonna. Okay. So we got the courtyard of the tabernacle. Okay. So that is that. And then we've got the tabernacle itself that kind of does one of these numbers. That hurts my head. Oh, golly. I don't know why I'm trying to do this in 3D. That's a terrible idea. Okay, we got the tabernacle.
It's pretty good.
Thank you. Okay, so we got the inside view of the tabernacle now. All right, so kind of got this like big old, it's basically a big old tent tarp thing, something like that. We'll call it like that. Go look up actual pictures of it. Okay, so there are 7 pieces of furniture that we're going to look at here. 7 pieces of furniture in the tabernacle that we're going to look at. So someone with a big voice that doesn't mind reading a little bit, can you read 1 through 8 for me of chapter 27?
I could.
Please do.
And thou shalt make an altar of... I should not have...
She's like, I don't know how to say that word without getting in trouble.
Of wood. 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 squared, and the height thereof shall be 8 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels and his baskets. Okay? And his flesh hooks and his fire pan, all the vessels thereof thou shalt make of brass. And thou shalt make for it a great of network of brass. And upon the net shalt thou make four brassen rings in the four corners thereof. And thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath, that the net may be even to the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of wood, and overlay them with brass. And the staves shall be put into the rings, and the staves shall be upon the two sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was shewed thee in the mount. So shall they make it.
Awesome. Okay, so. Very good, very good. Thank you for enduring. Alrighty, so we've got over here this first piece of furniture in the tabernacle. So it's basically an altar. So what did it say? I think it was 4 cubits by 4 cubits.
Something like that.
That's a cubit right there. So, I don't know, not that big, but not that small either, right? You know, like a... I think it was 4 cubits by 4 cubits, or was it 2 by 2?
It's 5 cubits by 5.
Okay, I mean, it was pretty big. I don't know.
5 cubits by 5 cubits.
Okay, so she's like from that end of the whiteboard to here. So that's a pretty big, you know, grill, basically. So it's talking about it has a network of brass on it. So it's literally basically just a giant grill. So what it would be is they'd have their sacrifices, and you'll read about it in a bit, right? They have to make the sacrifice. They have to put the bloods on the horn on the sides. They'd carry it by stakes made of shittim wood on the sides. Then you'd have, that'd be where all the fire that they'd use comes from that. And so in our picture, in our pattern, right? And now there's a lot of patterns and a lot of pictures for us in the tabernacle. And so I'm only going to go through one right now. But the one that I want to look at is, right, what's the end goal here of the tabernacle for Israel? The end goal is that they would meet God in the center of that tabernacle, meet him, and be able to talk to him, have a relationship with him. And so guess what? What's our goal as Christians? Right? To have a relationship with God. And so we want the same thing as them. And so as a part of the same pattern as them, right, we can learn some things about us. So this first step, there is a sacrifice with blood before you do anything else. What do you think that might be? Yeah, someone said it. Great, Christ's sacrifice for us, right? Right? That's the first thing, Christ's sacrifice for us. That before we can do anything else, before we can go into the tabernacle itself, before we can do anything, we can't get any further than if we have a sacrifice from Christ. All right? And I'm also going to do. I get you a scale here, too. This is north, west. Okay, so there's that. Next up, I think this one's a little bit less intense to read. Chapter 30, 17 through 21. Next person that feels nice. So chapter 30, 17 through 21. Yeah, if you're there, go for it. 17 through 21.
The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle, the congregation, and the altar, and thou shalt put water there. For Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet therein. when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they dine out, but when they come near to the altar to minister to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever unto them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generation.
All right, so a brazen laver. So once again, what's brazen mean, for the record?
Something made of brass.
Thank you. Yep. Matters, because God picks the materials he uses intentionally. I don't know if we'll get into that tonight. But, all right, so the brazen laver, right? That is the next one. And so, essentially, I mean, take me back to the days, right, of this time period. What did they have on their feet?
Sandals.
And dirt, yeah, right? They have really nasty feet, 24-7, right? And so it was a common thing, right, that you wash your feet in this time period, okay? And so that's what it talks about here in 7 and 8, right? I put that on the wrong thing. Wow, I screwed up my notes. Good. All right. But anyway, right? The whole point of that is that Aaron, what does it talk about? How he can wash his hands and his feet before he goes in. His hands and his feet. I'm a Smeagol. Right? So he can wash, all the priests will wash their hands and feet before they go inside. And so in the exact same way, right? Hands and feet kind of symbolize your walk and what you do, right? Symbolizes where you go, what you do. Symbolizes your walk. So guess what? If I want to even start having fellowship with the Lord, I've got to get clean. Who knows 1 John 1:9? The verse. Who knows 1 John 1:9? Surely I've not failed you as a youth guy in that you don't know 1 John 1:9. Huh? 1 John 1:9, what'd you say?
Yeah.
That if. We. I hear it, right? That if we. Yeah. Go for it.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all
right. Cleanse us, right? So, this is even, I'm not even talking about unsaved people here. I'm just talking about Christians, right? You're not even in the door if you don't get clean before you try to go in. Okay? And so, in your Christian walk, here's the reason a lot of Christians don't think they get anything out of the Bible. Here's the reason why a lot of Christians think that prayer doesn't do anything for them. Here's why a lot of Christians don't get anything from the Lord and they think God, I'm struggling, like God doesn't even exist, right? You know, I've been there, right? Why is that? Because they're filthy. They're filthy, and so they can't even start to have a relationship with the Lord because they've got so much dirt in their lives. They go all the wrong places, they hang out with the wrong people, they do the wrong things, right? What's all you got to do, right? Doesn't take that long to wash. 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so that's basically the equivalent of that verse right there, okay? So next up, let's go back to Exodus 25. Someone read 31 through 40. Hopefully that's not 21. Crazy. 25. Let's see, how long is that? 25.
I can read it.
You got it? Okay. Kenzie will read it. Listen to my wife. She's smarter than me.
You know, this would be hard. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the candlestick out of one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side. 3 bowls made like unto almonds with a knop and a flower in one branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flower, so in the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be 4 bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers, and there shall be a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, but according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same, all it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold, and a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount.
Perfect. All right, so we've got this candlestick here. And I think I've got this. I don't think I have this cattywampus. I think. Someone look it up. Do you know, is the candlestick on the north or the south? I forget. I think it's on the south side?
South.
Okay. So, we've got this candlestick. You might recognize it, okay? So it talked about, okay, we've got a central candle. And what did it say? That it had three arms to the left and right, and then three arms to the right.
Yeah.
Hey, what's that?
The one thing.
The one thing.
That they did whatever it's called.
Yeah, for Kwanzaa. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got the right idea, right? It's a menorah, is what they call it. Now, obviously, those are not the real deal. All right, so it talks about a candlestick. Okay, a candlestick. And what does it look like? What does it talk about? Verse 27. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they shall bring thee pure olive oil beaten for the light and cause the lamp to burn always. Okay, so if you're in this tabernacle, okay, and I don't know if you guys read about the covering on this. What's it got for covering? Anybody remember?
Isn't it goatskin?
It's got goatskin. That's one of them. What else? It's got ram skin dyed red. It's got badger skin. And then it's got fine twine linen. It's the fourth one? I think there's four, right? But I didn't write it down. But here's the gist. Okay, you got four layers of cloth on top of this thing. Is there any light getting in this puppy? No, it's pitch black. All right, this puppy's pitch black. So all of your light comes from that candlestick, which it says candlestick. We're not talking like candles, right? What does it just say? It says it's oil-burning lamps. All right, oil-burning lamps. So slightly different, much more powerful, and important to us because, I don't know if you guys know this, what's oil a type of in the Bible? Anybody know? Oil? 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 Jay, go for it. Close. As a type of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So all of the light in your life comes from the Holy Spirit. All right. If you don't got this Holy Spirit, you don't got any light. Think about it. What does the Bible say about the Bible for unsaved people? Can they understand the Bible?
Uh-huh.
Why not? Right? Because they don't.
Yeah.
It says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Yeah. Right. Neither can they know them because they're spiritually discerned.
Yeah.
So if you don't got the Spirit, you can't understand spiritual things. Yeah. So if you don't got the candlestick, you walk into the tabernacle. What is it? Pitch black. There ain't nothing in there. Ain't nothing in there. Okay? Next up, someone read 23, what is it? 25. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you want to do another leader for me, just because we're going to have to cook here. Chapter 25. Where do I want to start? Okay, Jay, you got it. Oh, it's not that far. 23 to 30. It's just this smidge here on the left-hand side. Right?
Thou shalt also make a table of shooting wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border and a hand breadth round about. And thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof, to cover with all of pure gold shalt thou make. And thou shalt set upon the table shewbread before me always.
Okay, right? And thou shalt set upon the table shewbread before me always. Okay, so every single day, the priests, one of their job was getting up and putting bread on this table. Okay? Which, I mean, I like bread, but, like, why bread? What's bread a type of in the Bible, buddy?
Isn't it Christ?
Close. In some way, maybe one place. Normally, though.
The word of God.
Yep, you had it. You had the old one, right? Okay, a lot of times bread, and then, I mean, not always, because you're right. Sometimes, you know, there's like the bread of life and things like that. So in multiple places, right? But a lot of times it represents the word of God, okay? Well, that's cool. Why are there, so if you study it, if we go to another place, right? It's two rows of six, so 12 loaves of bread. Let's think, what's important about the number 12?
12 tribes.
12 tribes, yes, so that's important. Why would it be broken into two lines of six? How many books does your Bible have in it?
66.
Hey, okay. You see the parallels here? Mm-hmm. 66 books of the Bible, 6 and 6 of the type of the Word of God, okay? Here's the other thing, right? What did I just talk about, right? If you don't have light from the Holy Spirit of God, can you understand the Bible?
No.
Here's the other thing, right? Let's say you're saved. You've got the Holy Spirit inside of you. What happens if you stand on this side of the table? Can you see what you're doing? If I'm on this side of the table, right there, can I see what I'm doing? No. So what does that tell me? Yeah, to be on the bright side? Yeah, exactly. Tells me I can block the Holy Spirit if I want to, right? If I'm in the wrong side, if I'm in the wrong place, if I'm doing the wrong thing, right? So understanding the Word of God is partially dependent on where I'm at. Make sense? I appreciate the feedback, Jay. This is good. You keep me going, man. All right. Next up, we'll go fast here, because we're almost done. This is pretty fast now.
Yeah.
Chapter 30. Give me a leader on this one. 1 through 10. Or maybe not even 1 through 10.
I'll get it.
Okay.
And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof, round about, and the horns thereof. And thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it. By two corners thereof, upon two sides of it, shalt thou make it, and thou shalt be four. This is for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamp, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, no burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye drink offering thereon.
I think that should get it right there. I got it. I got the verse I needed, right? Okay, so there's this little tiny guy. What if it say it's a cubit by a cubit? So, right? Little tiny guy. Like this, okay? So that is right there. Okay, the Bible, and I'll get into this more at another date, but the Bible talks about how it sends up a sweet savor, right? It smells good to God. If you look in Revelation, it says the same thing about the prayer of the saints. Okay, this altar of incense represents your prayer life with God, okay? It represents you praying with him and talking with him. What's it say, right? And Aaron, when Aaron lighted the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, and perpetual incense. What's perpetual mean?
Forever.
Forever, right? Yeah. Pray without what?
Ceasing.
Hey, okay. Amen, amen. All right, inside here, I'll just speed out these last two. Okay, I'm gonna have to mess up our veil here for a second. Okay.
I'm gonna die.
Oh. Okay, so we've got this thing in here, right? Step next, right? And I'll read this really fast. Okay, what is that called? We talked about it already. What is that? That is the ark, right? Indiana Jones. It melts Nazi faces, right?
Ooh.
That's right.
Yeah. That's the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? And so basically he tells him, make this gold box for me, with a crown about it and all that stuff that he's talked about. And then he tells him this, and thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. All right? So This now, we're talking about in the Holy of Holies, right? This is what we're talking about. This is where you build your relationship with the Lord, okay? So the Lord in life is going to give you things that he didn't give to anybody else. They're your things. Maybe they're experiences. Maybe they're blessings. Maybe it's something in his word that you're reading and he shows it to you without having to have a bozo like me up and tell you, right? And so what he wants you to do, right, is let none of those words fall to the ground. He wants you to keep those. And those things are the things that as you get older in your walk, remember I was talking about how you kind of start doubting Christ at first sometimes. You haven't seen him work. You haven't done that kind of stuff. Those are the things that if you're a smart Christian, you keep track of those and you remember those things when there's a rainy day, all right? You keep those things in your life. And then lastly, on top of the ark, he had him build what's called the mercy seat. So we're going to build this. And then on top of that, there was cherubim, like these big wingy dudes. Oh gosh, my drawing is failing now. Okay, big wingy dudes, all right? And so this mercy seat is where Christ, or not Christ, but God would actually come, right? Verse 25, chapter 25, 22. And there will I meet thee, and will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. All right? So now, that's where, right? We've read his word. We've done all these praying things, right? But guess what? You can read the Bible. You can pray. You can do all those things. But until you go in there and you start actually developing your relationship with the Lord, you don't actually start developing your relationship with the Lord, right? You get what I'm saying? You can do all these things without having even started working on your actual relationship with the Lord and the Holy of Holies. So what that tells me as a Christian is, you know, hey, number one, where am I at? Look at where I'm at. Am I just doing this stuff out here? Am I not even going in to the place where I can have a relationship with Christ? Am I not actually, like, if I don't have anything that I can think about that he's ever given me, is that because I'm just young as a Christian, or is it because I'm not actually there yet? Am I not doing what I'm supposed to do? So here's the amazing thing, and I'm wrapping up there. I'm done, right? Here's a bonus points. Can someone tell me why this cardinal direction matters?
God moves east to west.
Bingo, right? All the good moves in the Bible go east to west. Yep. So when you're getting closer to God, right, it's east to west.
Say what you said about the mercy seat again. Like, what am I saying for that?
It says you can do everything outside of that.
Yeah, it's like it's where fundamentally where he comes down and
okay.
You build that relationship. Yeah.
So
this is the inspirational take on it, right? Guess what? There's a lot more there. I mean, we could spend literally 4 or 5 weeks on the tabernacle if we wanted to, because we could talk about the tabernacle as a type of the universe, the tabernacle as a type of. I mean, there's about 500,000 things. Okay, so I'm done today. We're calling it quits there. But the point being, right? You know, look at what you're reading. And ask yourself, am I paying attention to it, or am I just kind of cranking through the pages? Or am I not reading at all? Or, you know, because if you want to build your relationship with Christ, right, do you get to just skip? Do you get to skip getting clean? Do you get to skip the Holy Spirit? Do you get to skip praying? Do you get to skip the Bible? No. If you don't got any of that stuff, you're not getting here. All right? You'll be spiritually dead as soon as you walk through the door. And so you got to make sure you've got all those other steps in your life. So think about that. We will call it quits.